Hello, Snuggle Bear.
Hello, how are you, Jen Ponton?
I'm happy to see you.
I'm happy to see you, too.
I miss you.
It's the 90s. How's anybody?
I wish. Oh, my God. Catherine recently, Catherine's like 20 years older than me. Uh-huh. And so she was ostensibly having way much more fun in the 90s than I was.
Does she want everybody to know that?
I mean, oh yeah, that's fine. Okay. But she was lamenting to me. She was like, "Jen, I miss the 90s," and I was like, "We can't go there. We can't start this. We can't do it because if you start it, then it will never end. We just need to accept that it is."
I mean, we miss what's not here, but it's not necessarily because it was better.
Yes, that is true.
There was plenty about the 90s that was absolute horseshit.
It's hard to remember.
I mean, gay marriage is just one of the tiny ones.
Yeah. Yeah. But then gay marriage versus everything else.
Well, but also so many things that just weren't, people weren't bothering with stuff politically, but that's not because it was legal. You know what I mean? When you think about all of the things that were just like, oh, we're just not going to worry about that right now.
I watched Leave the World Behind, the new Netflix movie that has Ethan Hawke and Julia Roberts.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about that.
And it's so good. It's very enjoyable. I loved it. And there's a point at which Julia Roberts is talking with one of the other actors who's young, who's you know, like a Gen Zer of color. And Julia Roberts is like, you know, she just likes watching Friends. We just miss those times. And the other actress goes, yeah, but it's like nostalgia for something that wasn't even real.
Right. Right.
Which I think is relatable.
Right. And you know, nostalgia for something that excluded people of color.
1,000%. Right. Right. Of course. The Friends world never existed for anyone.
I think that the biggest thing that people mean when they say that is that there was a level of input that our brains were used to that I don't think after 40 our brains will ever be able to catch up, honestly. Like, I know that there's neuroplasticity, but like our brains were set at a certain rate.
Definitely. It's what's his face? Dunbar's number, I think. And it like tops out basically. Like, we're only really able to keep 150 relationships.
Oh, that feels right.
Yeah. And so now,
Dunbar's number, I've never heard of that before.
It's a thing. Like, it's not, I think in some cases it's taken with a grain of salt, but like, it certainly feels truthy. Like, and now all of a sudden we're encouraged to have like thousands and thousands of people we know, but like, as squishy beings full of blood who are meant to just like be in the world and not on a screen, I say to my best friend who I'm watching on a screen, Jesus Christ, and we talk to you through the thing that has a screen. I mean, my God. But like, because of that, there's sort of this, that's I think what I certainly mean when I'm like, man, I miss X year. Like, it, when I say it, I mean like 1998. I mean, like, right before everything just accordioned out and all of this life just started to exist that we had to be aware of.
Mm.
Not in, like, a shitty sociological way either, but in a, like, social media way. Like, now all of a sudden I have thousands of people I know and it's insulting.
Well, and people are yelling at other people for not posting about certain things.
Definitely.
And it's like, so I'm not even like a medium range influencer, right? Like, I think I'm at about 6,500 followers right now, which is not enough to get me even like free stuff. But but it will get people in my DMs asking about feet, which I'll come back to.
Oh, yay. The miracle happened for you.
No, it should have, but it didn't. So, but just like, if you are coming to my page because of burlesque, obviously I'm going to use my voice to whatever extent that I can to uplift other things that I care about. But just like we talked about where you can max out your ask with people, mm-hmm. people will either unfollow you or straight up block you if they feel like you are an emotional or energy vampire to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So so we all have to be, whether we want to or not, if you're trying to use your social media platform as any sort of promotion, like, you have to figure out a balance, and there's no right answer to that. So that's another thing. That's another thing. We have to be our own PR agents.
Oh, God, yeah.
The foot thing. So it was somebody who is a recent follower, and they don't have, they have like a cartoon as their whatever thing. I don't know why I followed them back, or maybe I didn't, and I just looked at the messages that I get, because I'm curious to see what the other messages in my other folder are. Mm-hmm. And it was two likes to a story, and then nice feet. And I was like, when did I even post? Oh, when I was painting with that photographer last week, I did post a picture of my feet. And then I was mad at myself for posting free feet. So then I was like, I don't know. I was like, what? Why are you looking to buy feet pics? And this person, who I feel safe to say is a cis man, was like, oh, no. No, I just thought they were pretty. Why? And I wrote back, LOL, why, in quotation marks.
Please take a screenshot. Send it to me. I would like for it to be my home screen.
I mean, I also explained. I was like, if people are bothering to ask about feet, they usually want to buy content. LOL, why? Like, what?
Wow. Thanks,
just
universe.
Just an admirer who wanted me to know.
Nice feet.
So I did not prep you for this. And if you are not interested in this, we can skip it. Two things have happened to me late at night recently where I was like, oh, I can do that thing where I can just double click an Apple Pay on whatever this dumb shit is.
Just is this we guess can. What's in the box?
Oh, you could guess what's in the box.
What's in the box?
I'm just going to tell you. What's in the box? It is not Gwyneth Paltrow's head, unfortunately. So we're going away for the Christmas. And also, you know, I find myself traveling a good deal, and also I have a bathroom shyness. I don't like people even being able to hear me pee, let alone any like trace of number two afterwards. So for a long time I have carried with me a lavender vanilla poo-pourri.
Yes,
so,
we love
and they were having a sale, and I needed more of that. So what I did was, I got a whole bunch of poo-pourri, and they're mostly earmarked for people. But I wondered if you were interested in a smell test.
Ooh! I mean, I have my favorites, and I have ones that I would not choose. Yes, I am very interested in this.
So in this box, I have a large home pourri air and fabric frosted cypress. Ooh. I have a small shoe and foot cedarwood eucalyptus. I know, I didn't even
shoe
know that this was
foot.
A thing. Hilarious. This says greetings from the North Bowl.
Man.
Let me know if you want this 25% off coupon, because I don't think I could buy any more poo-pourri. And then I've got a, I don't remember getting this one. Air and Fabric Odor Eliminator Small Version Positively Fresh, which is supposed to cover, it's veterinarian recommended for animal stink. And then we were just talking about reading glasses, and I'm like, what? A Car Odor Fresh Air Clean and Natural.
Oh.
And a Fresh Sea Salt Large Size Toilet Spray and an Amalfi Flush.
What the fuck is Amalfi Flush? What's that one supposed to smell like?
Let's start with that.
I bet you citrus and sea.
Lemon zest, sugar, and honey.
Honey?
Oh, wait. I can't break all of these seals, but I do want to know what that one smells like.
I kind of want to know what that cypress smells like. That has gauged my interest the most.
I'll tell you what. I will spray the ones that have spray things on it. This little Amalfi one is all wrapped up, so I'll let you know at a later date if it smells like lemon zest, sugar, and honey.
I mean,
we're going for cedarwood eucalyptus. Is that what we're trying?
No, cypress. Cypress.
Fresh sea salt. Ah, frosted cypress. That's the air and fabric.
Frosted.
One. Let's see.
Fuck buddies, this content is incredible.
Huh. I like it. Oh, no, it's very Christmassy.
If any of you want to be watching this right now, if you listen to us, Spotify is the platform that hosts the video version. So now you
otherwise,
have that
go ahead, fast forward. No, this is, it says clean and natural. I would definitely say that it is Christmassy.
Oh,
yeah. But not so Christmassy that you couldn't use it after Christmas. It actually is maybe like minty. Yeah. Cypress, cedar, and smoked vanilla.
Oh, that's my shit.
Yeah, it's good. I like that one a lot.
That's appealing.
Let's see what fresh sea salt is like.
I don't usually like aquatic scents like that.
Oh, that actually smells lemony to me.
Yes.
Do you like that or no?
Well, they usually pair, they call them aquatic, and it's labeled as salt, and it sort of smells a little bit like Axe and a little bit like citrus.
This says sea salt, bergamot, and eucalyptus. I quite like this one.
I fucking knew there was some bergamot in there.
This is definitely going to be the one that's going to be on the back of my toilet. I like that one a lot. I like the lavender vanilla one for traveling, but between you and me, it is weird to have a bathroom smell like food at any point.
This is my concern about the Amalfi one.
Mm.
Like lemon, honey, sugar sounds lovely as like a room spray.
Mm-hmm.
I worry
about
that.
Could go sideways.
Because, you sideways. Know, there's always like a slight dual presence with poopery. I would say it's like 80-20.
Sure. Sure. And there were some fragrances that I would absolutely not. I would never even deign. How do we undo this?
I like lavender mint. That has been my poopery of choice.
This is the foot spray.
This is amazing.
Oh, that's nice too. Cedarwood eucalyptus, as advertised. Ooh. 1,000,000% as advertised.
Hooray!
And then what's the animal one smell like? Positively fresh.
Very cute.
What's something I haven't sprayed something on yet? This room is, my door is closed. Everything's going to smell crazy. Oh, weird. That smells like potpourri and not in an identifiable or pleasant way in any way.
Is it like stepping into a Michael's?
No, you know what it is? It's like that corner of Home Goods where they have all the sachet packets.
Oh.
Where you're like, I can't tell what this is supposed to be because it's everything from it's everything from like cinnamon to eucalyptus.
And for some strange reason, there's a lotus pod in there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It smells like a lotus pod looks. Yes, for sure. And then lastly, we've got car odor fresh air, which this can only make my wig headband smell better. So we'll find out. All right. I'm burnt out. It smells exactly the same as the pet odor one.
Oh, my God. You're smelling so many things.
It is too many. It's far too many. But not unpleasant. We'll revisit that one another time.
I gotta tell you, I nailed it with my tree this year, though. I got a good fragrant tree.
Yeah, you mentioned. Very
proud of that.
And then they were just talking about that. Martha Stewart was talking about the different kinds of trees on CBS Sunday Morning, where I get all of my old people content.
That's right.
And she was like, if you really like this fragrance, then you should go for this. And if you like this. And then she mentioned a different kind of tree that wasn't the kind that I got. And she was like, be very careful because the needles are very sharp. And I was like, yeah, I wish anybody had given me any kind of a heads up about that.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
Scotch pine, motherfucker.
Bummer.
Bummer. All right. Well, that is those are my reviews. I really do like the Frosted Cypress a whole bunch.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I would like that very much.
Hooray.
Yay.
Well done.
Good on you.
And that was, I got all that stuff for like 35% off.
My personal recommendation for things you're not going to spray into the toilet, if you like smells in your house, there's a company called 1803 Candles.
Uh-huh.
I love them so much. Mm. I was... you know, well, actually, I probably found them when you and I were walking around Chester in like 2020.
Oh, you told me about those. Those are too heavy for me, but I appreciate them. You guys like the coffee they ones, right?
I do. Yeah. Oh, it's my favorite. But they also make wax melts. And the wax melts are next level. So like strongly recommend 1803 nice. Candles, wax melts in a little wax warmer. You're welcome. My personal favorite is Perfect Morning.
Ooh.
And it's like caramel coffee. It is so wonderful. A close second is pumpkin cornbread.
Jesus.
Oh, it smells like you're cooking.
Oh.
Yeah, it does. It's
that's
so good.
Nice.
Pumpkin cornbread makes me feel like, oh my God, a whole team of like homey, mothery, witchy women work here and are just always in the kitchen. It's amazing. Yeah.
Lucky Honeybee or The Lucky Honeybee. I can't remember what her website is right now. I don't think that there's time to get things shipped in time for actual Christmas, but maybe. You can call her up, see what's up. But her candles are, that's a friend of mine, and her candles are also fantastic.
I love the candle you gave me from her. You gave me the Jersey tomato one.
Yeah, that one's really fun. She's got an apple cider one that I'm really crushing on right now. And the Christmas hearth one is to be the band, so.
Ugh, so good. Christmas hearth. I love that shit.
Yeah, it's good. It's 100% Colonial Williamsburg at Xmas time.
Have you ever gone to historic Smithville?
No. Where's that?
Okay. So it's down, it's in South Jersey. It's not far from Atlantic City at all. It's like in a small radius from Atlantic City, like near Absecon.
Okay.
And as someone who's never been to Colonial Williamsburg, I say, it feels like Colonial Williamsburg. But that's probably not entirely right because nobody's like doing the shit, you know? Like,
oh, yeah.
But it is all really old little colonial buildings from, I don't know.
From your. What,
yes, your. Precisely. And they're all in this itty bitty little village. It almost looks like what you would build if you were into model trains. Like, there's a big pond and it's full of swans and there are like walking bridges and there's a motherfucking carousel and a little like train ride that you can go on.
Oh my God, that sounds quaint as fuck.
It's quaint as hell. It's so precious and it's all done up cute like for Christmas and it's like a fun little day.
Nice.
It's a very
well, we're gonna
nice.
Have to borrow Christmas from somewhere else because I definitely did not get it in gear at all this year.
Oh,
and I know that Don has barely gotten any shopping done, and I was like, don't go panic buy stuff.
Oh,
like, please.
Yikes.
Like, I'm really okay with. Like, there are a lot of people out there who are like, it's fine. Don't get me presents. I'm not saying don't get me presents. I like presents. I'm just saying it doesn't have to be on the actual day of the whatever.
For sure.
And if
and
you
don't
know,
half-ass it.
Right. I would prefer something thoughtful later on than a Marsha Finger special with a bag full of dollar store shit.
Oh. Totally. Yes. I got my Christmas on so early this year. Like, I love it. I don't remember if I've talked to you about this personally or, like, here on the podcast, but, like, I am such an ardent gift giver. I love gifting. Aww. I love it. It's one of, I like receiving gifts too, but I love, like, just being open to what delights me about other people and, like, finding little beautiful things for them makes me so happy.
But it used to be easier when there were, like, stores to go to. I have a really hard time browsing for cute things for friends online. It's just not how my brain works.
That's true. That's true. Sometimes I'll see something at Etsy. I guess I have some retailers I've, like, clicked in with.
I have some, like, bookmarks. Yes. Yeah. I have some things that pop up over and over again, but then I don't ever branch out from that. Or if I do, then I'm wildly disappointed by whatever the hell the thing is.
Yes. Yes. I tried a bunch of new, like, Etsy or, like, small artisan people this year. And I just, like, it makes me so happy. And I would say, especially once I was married and gift giving became a unit thing. My ex and I were not on the same page as gift giving. Like, he was a person who was very comfortable with, like, gift cards and, you know, like, Amazon purchases in Amazon bags, which is totally fine. Like, I got some gifts on Amazon for people.
Here's the thing. If anyone ever gets me anything on Amazon, do not put it in that dumbass bag. Don't get that gift bag. I feel burdened by that. Because I both think it is wildly unattractive, and I also feel like I can't get rid of it. But the only thing you can do with it is to put something else in it and give it to some other asshole. And I hate it. I don't know how you could get something so ugly. It's so ugly. I'd rather get it in a Fresh Direct bag. At least that's big and useful. I love a Fresh Direct bag. It's got, like, oranges or, like, limes and stuff all over it. Not this weird. And it feels gross to touch. Ugh. Anyway.
Intense feelings about Amazon's gift bag. Okay. And another point in that camp, although not quite the same tack, is that, like, gift wrapping is a wonderful experience. I'm sure not everyone feels that way. I strongly feel that way. I love that shit.
No cats.
Oh my God, totally. No, but how many times has that puppy taken off with my tape, with my scissors, like stolen my ribbon? Countless, countless. This little motherfucker. I love him so much. So it has been really lovely to be, you know, a solo entity. And, like, even though Jory and I are together, like, it feels vastly different. I still feel very individuated. And to have this shopping be spread out over months and months and to just, like, stow things away. And Jory's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, it's Christmas. And Jory's like, already? And I'm like, bitch, yeah. I'm so good at this. Are you kidding me? It makes me so happy.
I am so good at this.
I am so good at this. Oh, my God. I nail it.
I used to be good at it. I think that when I stopped being able to get something thoughtful for everyone who I loved in my life, I had a little meltdown and started doing almost nothing for anyone.
Yeah.
But it's okay. I'm actually, I did three big-ish presents for Dawn this year, and I'm happy with all of them. Did I tell you about the print that I found for Jersey City?
No.
Again, I'm going to tell you about this confidently because Dawn is definitely not an avid listener of this.
Got it.
There's a little stand. I do love the holiday markets, and the Union Square one has come through for me countless times, even though it's always too crowded. But, like, if I can put my earplugs in, and this time I wore a mask just for my comfort, but also I think it makes other people stay away from you now.
Oh, Interesting.
I think the people either think you're a weirdo or they're worried that you're sick. So either way, I'm happy to glean the elbow room. But there's a little stand that always has prints and maps. And Don really likes maps. I was specifically looking for some sort of old Jersey City map. And they had, they have New York stuff over here. And then they've got like Connecticut, Jersey, New Hampshire, whatever, over here. I'm flipping through. And then I see at the very bottom of this print, the vision of it was like, oh, my God, what? And then the caption said something, something park in Jersey City Heights. The center, it's a print from Harper's Weekly. And in the middle of it, it's like a cameo in the middle and then things happening around the outside edges from a Volksfest, from like a German festival. And the very center of it is people doing a sack race. Now, tell me what you think of when you think of a sack race.
In a potato sack, burlap sack with your legs and you're hopping.
Right. So for those who can't see Jen, your hands are like about at your chest height, right?
Right, right.
Okay. Well, apparently in ye olden days,
they would
pull it up to your neck and tie it.
That sounds like a traction waiting to happen.
And it's four people hopping and then one person about to fall down like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But you can't see his hands going, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. Because the sack is tied up to his neck. There's a boy up on a sloping roof with a bear down below with a whole audience watching. I don't know what's happening over there. There's a trapeze act over here. I was like, and it it's like 1885 or something.
Shit.
Like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway,
amazing.
I need to actually get that framed and not hand him an unframed print, which is what I do, and then I frame it like months and months later. But it is so funny. It's like whatever, like sausage purveyors. Like,
uh-huh.
And I showed it to the guy at the stand and he was like, oh, I've never seen anything like that.
That's so good. Oh, my God.
So that was a win.
Well, can't wait to see that up on your wall.
I know.
I need a custom frame for a million years ago. I bought, the MTA subway art that's along the crown molding, right?
Yes.
And so it's very long and narrow.
Uh-huh.
And they had one of the Coney Island skyline upon a time. And I bought one from like mtamuseum.org or whatever. But it's impossible to find a frame that will fit it.
Of course,
so it's got to be some kind of a fucking custom build. And that just sounds really expensive. So unfortunately, this beautiful thing has been rolled up in a tight little, scroll for 10 years, maybe more, forever.
That's a shame.
Ridiculous. I know. I got to figure out what to do.
I mean, you're probably going to have to suck it up and buy a frame. or you could, they make the ones that are two pieces of glass that you can press something in between. I've done that before with weird sizes of things. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's like a border, and then it's two clear panels. So you'd have to get an oversized one, of course, and then smash it in that. So it probably would still not be cheap because it's glass and everything. Glass is expensive right now. But
when it broke, it would really, really break.
Oh, that's true.
Right? Mm. I mean, not the print, but like so much fucking glass for this little, bookmarks worth of art, relatively.
Right. I mean, your other option is to steam it flat and then maybe you could get some like nice deckled edge colorful paper.
Yes.
And then just put like a string on the back and just be like shabby chic. Call it a day.
I mean, my old standby is laminate it with packing tape, but that felt inappropriate.
After this long, that feels like it's wasted. So wasted. You've waited so long.
I know. I've got to figure out if it would be like hundreds of dollars or if it might be like $100. And
I think it would be fifties of dollars.
Oh, I don't hate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't hate that. That would be cool. I just got to go talk to a guy.
Mm-hmm. And again, keep your eye out for Michaels because like every other month they have some sort of custom framing for 45% off. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Oh, I'm going to need you to remind me of that when I don't have podcast brain on. Appreciate you.
Gosh, I really like this room spray. I might spray it again.
I knew you would. That was a very solid description of scent.
I'm going to read you the poem that's on the side of this. There once was a dweller named Blair, whose home had a stink in the air, but with a quick spray, the odor went away. At long last, she could breathe without care. Where, how do I get that job?
I was Who's got just going to say that. Come on. The work we were made for. What the fuck did I want to do? Oh, I told Jory, I was like, listen, I need you to get me the job for NJ.gov that runs, you know, the socials.
Right.
Come on. You know they give that shit to some child.
Wait, the actual NJ.gov is the good one. The Twitter account? The New Jersey Twitter account? Like, not that you wouldn't be great, too, but they're not getting rid of that person anytime soon. They're funny as shit. I know.
They are. They're really good. They're really good.
You could definitely run the Jersey City Health Department one.
Oh, no.
Their flyers during monkeypox had been screenshotted and reposted so many times that they were illegible. Oh, no. I was like, how did you even choose a resolution so low you cannot read a font?
Yikes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yikes. Was it papyrus?
No, but it was Comic Sans with the Tropicana font. You know what I mean? The one that looks like the Tropicana juice font?
Oh, my fuck. I do. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Doop, doop, doppy, dop.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Hello. Did you guys get a lot of bad with the storm?
Oh, my goodness. All night long, it was like an old Disney cartoon. Like Mickey trying to close a door in a snowstorm. It was ridiculous. Like whistling wind in the windows, you know, shaking of the fucking shutters and shit. It was, intense. And unfortunately, I was so proud of myself. I can't believe I adulted this hard. All of the leaves that fell went to the front for trash pickup today. But because of all the torrential rain, it made it so heavy that they couldn't take one of them. Because now this bin is just full of leaves.
Mother of pearl.
And water. And I'm like, fuck. Okay, so gotta rejigger that. But... yeah, so it's, been kind of weird.
Sure.
How about you?
I woke up 5:30 in the morning, moments before everything all ripped to shit. And so then I was up for a little while 'cause it was stormy. But then I watched some more British Bake Off and then I went back to sleep. One of the things that I've picked up, I think his name is Dan, one of the contestants. He goes, oh, my days.
Oh, my days.
Something goes wrong.
Oh.
But he does it in like he's got an accent that's a little like, it's not Scottish. It's that like deeper.
Like Manchester, like, England.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my days. And well, that's precious. I think about that all the time now. Yeah. Oh, he's very adorable. This season, they're always so cute. But this season,
is this the Bake Off? Is that what you said?
Yep. And the annoying co-host, who is the little bald guy, isn't on this season, and I don't miss him. And instead, if it's a fabulous, hilarious big black lady, and Allison something, I don't know who she is, but she's clearly some sort of a comedian.
No.
In the UK, yeah, she's just like a Nicole Byer ish.
I love Nicole Byer.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I have not really watched Bake Off maybe ever. Once. Maybe.
You were thinking about it so much, though. It sounded like you might have even had a favorite season.
Oh, no. No. I'm just like, any of that ring a bell? Nope. Not a one.
I find it so soothing. I didn't really watch it until my knee surgery. And then I was like, oh, this is like a pet on the head.
That is nice.
Mm-hmm.
I shotgunned over this past weekend all of the OxyContin shows.
Oh God, how did that feel? Oh
my God, dreadful. Dreadful. At once I was like grateful to learn it all and shocked and like but just like so sad. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. Yeah.
Oh, it's wretched.
It's really wretched. It's really wretched. And then to know that like ultimately almost nothing happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, similarly, but on a smaller scale, there's another Twin Flames documentary called, it's on Amazon, called Escaping the Twin Flames Universe. The one on Netflix is leaps and bounds better. Like, it's better storytelling, it's better perspective, it's more honest, it gets into the weird forcing people to transition gender stuff out of nowhere earlier. Yeah, the one that's on Amazon Prime isn't really worth your time if you want to know anything about it, but...
I appreciate that.
But the fact that those people are still just, like, tooling around being assholes and ruining people's lives for shiggles is gross.
Right? Oof. Yeah. I think it's really interesting when two major platforms cover the same event, you know?
Oh, yeah, like the Fyre Festival.
Yeah, like, yes, exactly. Or but like because, the Twin Flame thing. Or...
Yeah, I feel, well, the Twin Flame thing, the people who got out kind of got out in a bundle. Like a bunch of people left at once when things got so dumb and bad.
Oh.
So it didn't even really pick up steam until just before or like right at when the pandemic started. Mm-hmm. And then people started jumping ship about 2023, which for the lifespan of a cult is very short. For things
that
to escalate so fast that,
that
people are already like ready to throw everyone under the bus. That's very short. The thing that and this is going to sound unkind. It doesn't matter. The thing that is surprising to me about a lot of these cults is there is pretty privilege, right? There are people who can walk into a room and people are going to believe you because of the halo effect. What is beautiful, what is pretty is good. If you look like an angel and you're smiling down on me, I must be good too. Jeff and Shalia are fucking weird looking.
Are they the
as
twin
was,
flame people?
Yes. As was the NextGame guy. Like, there's plenty of people out there who have led big, huge cults who act strangely and are empirically not... a 9 or a 10, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But these two, I don't even know how anyone got caught up in their charisma. Like, they're like third chair band nerds, you know what I mean?
Oh, yikes!
They're like the people that the drama crowd is like, oh, you're too much, you know?
Yeah, I do. I know that, yes. Oh,
they're
no.
They're not funny. They're not compelling, which
you know,
just
though,
means it's even worse that they have found people who are so vulnerable that they want to be loved so bad that they'll even believe these nincompoops.
I wonder if that's because out of everybody in these cult situations.
Yeah.
They're the ones who are jumping on the bandwagon of something that's already very highly philosophized, meme accounts aplenty. Like, there's a whole culture absent from them about twin flame bullshit, right?
Sure. That's a good point. They just they slapped a brand on it.
That's
right.
That's right. Whereas everybody else, it is a cult of their own personality and their own idea, by and large.
You know that? I was, okay, you said that, and I was like, it's like someone finding a way to spin astrology and profit off of that. That Yeah Mad group that I watch that does the dad jokes, the comedians who try to make each other laugh, and then if you make somebody laugh, then you have to take a shot.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
The most recent one that dropped... The guy was trying to make a joke and use the word Aryan. And the girl thought Aryan was a term for someone who is an Aries sign. So she did not understand the joke at all, which was about Nazis.
Oh, bummer. Bummer.
She was like, I don't understand. I'm an Aries, and I don't. He was like, did you just say Aries?
Oh, tough.
She's the same girl who forgot how to do a knock-knock joke. It was great. Anyway.
Sorry. Would you reenact that for me?
What, the knock-knock joke?
Someone forgetting how to do a knock-knock joke.
Okay. Think of a knock-knock joke.
Okay.
No, you start with the knock-knock.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Okay.
Got it. Okay. All right. Welp. Oh, no.
And the guy that, the guy like rolled it back 5 or 6 times. He was like, no, no.
No.
I say this, you say that.
Oh, my shit.
And then I say this, and then that's, and she didn't get it. It was very funny. And then she was like, I haven't heard one in a long time.
Oh, okay.
How do you forget? Anyway, YouTube, it's better seeing it coming from the original people. Yeah, mad.
Wow.
Yeah, mad dad jokes on YouTube. Do you want to talk about holiday stuff at all?
I do, especially because this is probably going to be our last episode before Christmas.
Yes. So I sent out a text to my family. We've got someone in the family that has a pretty new newborn, like 2 or 3 months old now. I have friends that have been, people are getting COVID again. People are getting COVID again. And 2 years ago, Omicron was 2 years ago. I thought it was last year.
It's 'cause no.
Everything is... Oh, just a bummer. Big bucket of mustard in my brain.
Oh, sorry, honey.
So, yeah. Oh, sorry. So 2 years ago is when we went to Florida and I couldn't find any home tests. It was crazy.
Sure.
I sent out a test that was like, you know, maybe we should be testing. And also it would bring me great joy if, we could all talk about food and our own bodies and other people's bodies with love and respect. I don't know. I think that's a pretty good way to preemptively say something. Mm-hmm. And if your family's the kind of person that will, exactly, the kind of folks that are going to bust your balls about it and it's in a friendly way, then at least you're having a conversation about it, maybe.
Right. Right.
Obviously. Serving suggestion, please apply as needed. If your family...
Eat the fish, spit out the bones of this one.
Right. If your family is not the kind of people who would take that kind of thing kindly and would make your life hell about it...
Oh, yeah.
Then here's your permission to not spend Christmas or any of the holidays with your family.
Mm-hmm. Man, I love... That actually was not my experience in my, like, I mean, even within the environment of like super diet culture, very heavy food policing, lots of, you know, restrictive, awful shit. But like, I felt pretty, free during the holidays.
Good.
Yeah, because I feel like that was the time when my parents decided that eating was fine. Right? Like, they were willing to eat and acknowledge that food was a real thing. Mm-hmm. And so I was also allowed to eat. And in January, it would be another discussion.
Fam.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that's such a great... freeing and preventative measure with who you're going to spend time with.
Yeah. Yeah. And these are people who I love and everything comes from a wonderful, good place. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's easy for me to say that now. I also want to highlight Anna Perzy, I guess is how you say her name. A-K-P-R-Z-Y is her Instagram. And she is doing a remothering job for us. Her Ooh. Little inspirational, all of her TikToks or Instagrams are like, you're doing fine. Everything is hard. I see you. You're doing good things. And sometimes things are dumb and shitty, but I'm here for you. And it's Aww. Great. Let's get out there and kick this day lightly in the shins. give them the old razzle dazzle. And by that, I mean, obviously mean do the minimum required and we'll try again tomorrow.
Oh my God, entirely.
She's so funny.
There's a girl on TikTok who, like, all of her videos, she's got a voice like this.
That's right.
Oh, her. It is.
Yeah, yeah.
I love her so much.
Yeah, she's wonderful. She's apparently touring. So and it's sort of like a little comedy, a little solo show. Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
Super cute. Yeah, she's like, I don't know why. Oh, like, yeah, she's got that little squeaky voice. She's so cute.
Yes. Yes, right. And she runs at the camera.
Yes.
Yeah, she's amazing.
I feel like I could be a content creator if everything didn't involve so many shots. You know what I mean?
She's got a book.
Out here doing cut shots and like, oh, yeah? What's her book called?
Keep It Up, Cutie. A not quite self-help book. That's really adorable.
That does sound very cute.
Oh, it is cute. Oh, that's cute.
Yay.
Oh, man. I'm going to do this in my approximation of her voice. I'm sick of living scared and I'm sick of living stuck. Time to rise from the freaking ashes of being burned out, bestie. It's motherfucking me time.
That is exactly what she sounds like. That's amazing.
what a joy. Yeah, y'all, her, A-K-P-R-Z-Y is her account. What a joy.
Yeah.
What a joy. Mm-hmm. I think that was one of the first accounts that I, like, discovered and followed on TikTok, even though I'm not actually on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And just, like, yeah, everything that I see of hers, I like so much. So gentle, so playful and sweet.
I know.
So fun.
It feels like someone has your best interests at heart, which is the diametric opposite of how I feel most of the time.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean... The self-care, if you need to get a little emergency Zanny prescription, go talk to whoever you can talk to about that. I missed when I quit smoking cigarettes. I was like, well, how do I run away from people now? Maybe you could just pretend to be smoking.
Oh, my God. Did I not tell you my mom's rules? These have, and I will spoil a Christmas present that I have gotten for Jory and my cousin and my mom.
Uh-huh.
Because they won't hear this, at least before Christmas.
Sure.
But while we were in Colorado, we came up with my mom's rules for life. Rule number one, people suck. Rule number two, it's okay to lie.
Yay.
Rule number three, if all else fails, just pretend you're smoking a cigarette.
Amazing. There you are. Yes. Yes.
I mean,
I love.
And she and she said it specifically in regards to being an ex-smoker and like the moments where a smoke break would have just helped. And just imagine you're taking one.
Yes. Yeah. Other people just call it a break.
Oh, my God. So good.
Oh, man.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, You don't have to feed into the bullshit. You don't have to put up with other people's bullshit. If you like to be stressed out, but feel like other people's stress makes you feel better about your stress, I would definitely recommend, I think it's the next to the last episode of the show Bear, The Bear, which is a flashback when the mom is still alive for like one of their holidays, one of their Christmases. Mm. And the family takes a deep breath and no one stops talking for the entirety of the, I don't know, 33 minute, more show. It is. It was very triggering, but it was also very normalizing to see other people going through that. And mm-hmm, also, mm-hmm. I'm very grateful not to have that kind of people showing up in my life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh my God. The pageantry just sucks. I feel very grateful that I do not have that in my life, that was actually not what I came from either. Which is kind of a miracle because, like, a lot of situations where I would, you know, not think of my holidays as, like, ideal. But in terms of, like, nobody trying to start shit, amazing.
I mean, I've told a million shit holiday stories. I think that the one where I was like, oh, our family's fucked and is never going to be unfucked ever again was the first year when our heat stopped working. And one of the things that I liked the most about Christmas was going to church on Christmas Eve and doing they would always turn out the lights and everybody would light candles and then we would walk outside singing Silent Night. And I always thought it was such a special, beautiful thing. I also was like, now nobody knows the fourth lyrics to Silent Night and we can't hold our hymnals because we're carrying candles. But but it was so pretty. And, you know, my mom was depressed and it was cold and there weren't enough space heaters for all of the house. And she fell asleep on the floor of my sister's bedroom in front of a space heater. And we did not go to church that Christmas Eve.
Oh.
And I was like, hey, I spent like 18% of my time growing up just trying to wake my mother up.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nothing new. But the Christmas thing was, that was new. She was definitely churchy enough. I want to say fifth grade. It might have been third or fourth, though.
Mm. Oh, my heart.
Yeah, it was, we still had running water. But when the heat went, we never got heat again. We just had space heaters forever again.
Kind of a miracle that there wasn't a fire.
Oh, absolutely. And also, you know, I told you multiple times that I would, like, have a little daydream about being Punky Brewster coming home.
Uh-huh.
And then my family was dead.
Uh-huh. Starting over. Someone adopt me. I'm adorable.
Man. Oof. I don't know if I've ever actually said that out loud.
That is so real, though.
Yeah. I didn't actually want them to suffer or die. I just wanted to not have to deal with any of that.
And that's the only way your brain can even conceive of that being an option.
Right.
Because there's just no other catalyst for change. And as per Don Bluth cartoons, like, that's the only card to play on the table. It's like, welp, I guess my whole family died in a fire. Kinahara-poopa-boy. Oh, my God.
I have lots of good memories. When I really sit with thinking about Christmas, especially as like a teenager, I remember being too hot a lot of the time because the style back then was to wear some sort of kitschy sweatshirt over top of a patterned turtleneck.
I don't know how anyone ever did that. I run so warm.
Oh my God, I am my own space heater.
Oh, do you know what know what the trick is? Girl, it's a dickie.
Yes, no, I know. I can't. I can't. There's not, I'm like,
no
first
one
of all,
loves
I don't
a
want,
dickie like I, Barbara Ponton.
I don't want things up around my neck anyway.
Oh,
I
me
want
neither.
Things out here.
Yep.
So dickies are not for me, but I'm glad that your mom has found the last box of dickies left on the whole
1,000%.
She like found it underneath a whole box of like vintage chaps and Udelco.
Dude, she has actually said, I need to take good care of these because you can't buy them in stores anymore.
It's true. There's not.
She loves a dickie.
There's not much of a call for a dickie. For those of you, we have discussed dickies here before, but it's just the turtleneck part of the turtleneck.
That's right. And it gives you like a little bib that hangs down to your chest, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So you don't have the heat of a turtleneck. But
you have that stylish neckline.
Got that style!
So I remember being freezing cold. I remember being boiling hot. I remember having both happen at the same time on multiple occasions, like if we were going to go to the Grand Illumination at Colonial Williamsburg, where they do fireworks and stuff, and I would spill scalding hot apple cider on me, and so then you're burned, and then you're wet and cold.
Oh, no! So many sensations at once.
I definitely have like sensory processing stuff.
Sure.
Not that anyone wouldn't feel unpleasant with stuff, but the fact that I remember things like that so vividly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I remember the year where I was involved in like 4 stupid gift swappy things with people who I didn't know or like. And half of them were the kind of white elephant thing where you don't know who you're buying it for and you just buy whatever. And then 2 of them were people who knew me. And then my grandmother all got me socks. And 2 of them got me the same kind of penguin socks, like the same brand.
Oh, wow.
The exact same penguin socks. And I was like, this is bullshit. I was in maybe 3rd grade. I wanted a koosh ball.
Come on. That's a $4 gift.
4-5 different occasions where I could have had a pleasant, lovely surprise. A transformer. Something out of a bubblegum machine. You know what I mean? A shit stuffed animal. And no, socks on socks on socks on socks.
Children never want clothing. Oh, my God.
Also, how dare you assume that you know what a child would wear anyway? Like, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But no, maybe kids today like socks better. But even still, 1 pair of socks is one thing. 5 pairs of socks is an insult.
Sorry. Do you think the children of 2023 are more into some socks?
I think socks are funner than they used to be.
They are. And there's Bombas. Bombas is the shit.
I have no interest in Bombas.
Oh, I like Bombas very much.
Good to know.
I like them very much.
I now, because I do so many things where I then take off my clothes, I buy almost entirely low-profile diabetic socks because they don't squeeze you. So
yes.
If I'm going anywhere where I need to not have a sock line,
Which is everywhere.
I pretty much only buy these particular socks. Although I'm interested in compression socks.
I thought the whole point of diabetic socks was for them to compress. No?
No. Compression socks are the ones that come up to your knee and specifically do something to make your circulation go circulating.
Right.
What diabetics want is a natural, natural fabric that doesn't bind at the ankle, specifically at the ankle. So if it's a compression sock, it's not going to go up to the ankle. It's going to go all the way up to your knee.
Oh.
So if you're wearing a lower sock, you just want something that's not going to cut off the circulation at your ankle.
Got it. Got it.
So they're softer and they're very stretchy.
Mm-hmm. Bombas calf socks are compression socks. Certainly on a fat body they are. I have no idea what a thin person experiences, and I don't really care to know. My apologies, fuck buddies.
But well, here's what I know. Thin people are very worried about their socks falling down. Socks are so tight. Why are they so tight?
And this is why we need to bring back sock garters, apparently.
Yes. I could be into that.
That would be so great, right? Or you could just commit to leg warmers and flip-flops.
That felt very pointed.
It was.
Me walking around New York City in toe socks and flip-flops.
Oh, oh my God.
It's amazing I had any friends.
I love you so much.
Oh, thank you.
I think you're an icon.
I'm memorable.
So memorable, girl. Oh my God.
LOL. Yeah, and then I feel like I got a lot of really good Christmas presents that I had asked for, and my mom was actually very good at finding stuff I would have never thought of. Mm. Like, I definitely liked, she did Christmas really well until she didn't, and then she felt like she needed to keep it up, so she just kept buying trash, basically, like, mm-hmm. And then she would, and then at the end, like, she didn't even really, oops, that's my clock going off. At the end, she didn't even wrap things. She would just hand them to you. She would, like, hand you a Dollar Tree bag and then sit there like this waiting for you to take each item out and coo about
no.
it.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I know. It was very hard.
Yeah.
And then I would be like, oh, don't buy me another fridge magnet, Mom. Don't you do it. And she's like, I couldn't help myself. Oh, hoarders.
Oh, I saw a meme today that was like, it's not hoarding if all your shit is cute.
That is the modern version of he who dies with the most toys wins. And it is not.
Actually,
that's not great. Fine. As long as you also live with someone who likes Funko Pops, then go for it.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
No shame. If that's what brings you joy, that's fine. If I had to live with a house full of stacked up plastic boxes
would make
of plastic
me so
things,
miserable.
I would be
oh my God.
Furious.
I don't begrudge yeah, yep, yep, yep. I don't begrudge anyone their fandom at all, but oh my God, I just don't think it's a design aesthetic.
No. That's almost as weird as ugly cult leaders for me.
Yes. Yes.
There's also a trend of like babyfying everything, like characters who aren't babies. Like the Muppet Babies started it, obviously, but that was cute.
Right. Muppet and then Babies Tiny Toon Adventures.
Oh, Tiny Toons wasn't babies. They were their own people.
Right. Got it.
They weren't babies.
Oh,
they were,
that's true. They were just, it wasn't they were just baby teenagers. Bugs. It was,
right. yeah, yeah,
it was Buster and Babs. Right, mm-hmm. right. Okay, got it. But
I was very serious about it.
The way they're not babies, they're their own people. It's so good. And I'm like, cool, you believe in baby autonomy. I'm with you. We are on the same page.
Live your baby life.
Live your baby life.
But yeah, I'm seeing like, do we need a baby Deadpool? I don't think we do. Although I'll take a pocket-sized Ryan Reynolds, to be quite honest. Why is that man so symmetrical?
Shut up, though.
I think I could handle it. I think I could match him.
Did I tell you that the movie that he did with Will Ferrell last year on Apple was
Spirited.
So good? Oh, I loved it.
Oh, yeah. We watched it last year, and we actually just watched it while we were building the new cat
yes.
tree. I will say, there are songs where the lyrics leave something to be desired, mm-hmm. and why. The actress who played the like love interest.
I don't remember.
She's from many movies, including The Help.
Emma Stone.
Is it Octavia Spencer?
Oh, no. Octavia Spencer. Right, right, right. Yes, did yes, I get yes. it right? She and Will Ferrell. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Me, who doesn't That's know the difference right. between Spike Lee and Spike that. Jones, was afraid to say Octavia Spencer.
Yes. So, no. no, it is Octavia
Olivia
Spencer.
Olivia Wilde. who clearly neither sings nor wants to sing. And whose talent was completely wasted in that movie. Like, why her? Why was she Will Ferrell's love interest? Why was that the thing?
I appreciate the representation.
Yeah, but it felt ham-handed, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where they're like, ah, don't like this.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and she was fine, but just like in the Annie, where the Miss Hannigan was a weird choice, it did feel like they were like, oh, everybody likes this actor.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Right.
But anyway, yes, I enjoyed it. I liked the Good Afternoon song a whole bunch.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, some of the lyrics some of the lyrics in certain songs are a little phoned in, but overall I find it a romp.
I romped the fuck out of that movie.
My question was very much like, who exactly is it for? But I don't care. Like, it was for me and you, clearly. But it's not a kids movie.
No.
At all. But it is so like,
it's a millennials movie.
Funny colors and stuff. Yeah.
It's a millennials movie.
Yeah, yeah. That's
and
fair.
Like, I maybe meant to feel like our childhoods, but acknowledging that we're all like 40.
Right. People who were not watching Scrooged when they were young, but remember what Scrooged is.
Oh, fuck. I love Scrooged.
That's a good one.
Oh, my God. That is a banger right up there. I put on a Muppet Christmas Carol today. Arlo lost his mind. It was perfect. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Some Muppet
Arlo
Christmas
loves
Carol?
Muppets.
Oh.
Yes. Arlo really loves Muppets. He's invested.
He's like, my family.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I also played him Emmett Otter, and I played him Muppet Family Christmas, which, as you will recall, is where the Swedish chef tries to cook Big Bird.
Oh, yes. You know what? That definitely has shades of I'm trying to call them pterodactyls. Pelicans trying to eat capybaras.
Oh my God, so good.
Oh, crikey.
It does smack of that, doesn't it?
My favorite is the Very Merry Muppet Christmas movie. I think we talked about this last week, maybe.
Is this the one from 2002?
It's a Wonderful Life one.
Oh.
Here. I'm almost certain that that's the right one. It's the one where Joan Cusack is the villainess. And Pepe delivers the line, I like my women like I like my coffee, okay? A latte.
Yeah, it's a Very Merry Muppet Christmas movie.
Yeah.
From 2002.
I love that one.
Maybe it was Letters to Santa that I couldn't fuck with.
Oh, I don't know that one at all. But this one, I mean, it's a shame that Jeffrey Tambor sucks, but he has a very funny cameo in it. There's a moment where they stack up on top of each other and put on a long lab coat, which is, how does that ever get old?
We love Muppet Man.
Wait, is that the right one? But it's the one, it's A Wonderful Life. So Kermit's about to lose the theater because Fozzie has lost the money that they were supposed to take to keep Joan Cusack from taking the theater.
Right.
And Kermit's like, oh, I wish I was never born. And that's and then when he comes back to find everybody, everyone is like not just a mess, but there's an implication that Miss Piggy is like a phone sex operator.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's good. It's a good one. It's very heartstringy.
Oh, I love heartstrings. Love heartstrings.
Mostly just like It's very difficult. I was having a conversation with somebody who I love very much about just how disappointing their family is over and over again. And this is not to say that you haven't been abused. You know what I mean? If you are a person who has been abused by your family, and that can happen when you're an adult, you don't deserve that. But it's up to you how much you let those people in. You know what? If you're autonomous, if you don't live with those people, if you keep expecting and hoping, hoping is one thing, but don't expect them to treat you differently if they never have.
By the way, if this message is resonating with you all, and if you want to listen to something really fabulous and like, yes, more on this, there are a couple episodes of We Can Do Hard Things that came out very recently, and they're about being raised by emotionally immature parents.
Oh, useful.
There's a lot of overlap with like being parentified as a child, like narcissism. There's a lot of colors of all the crayons that you and I use a lot, and fuck buddies that I'm sure many of you are also familiar with that particular box of crayons. And it's just really lovely. And she goes through like how to engage with them while protecting yourself, because one of the biggest ways to succeed, to not get, you know, swept into the madness of it, because the madness is what you've been trained into. Mm-hmm. The hypervigilance and the taking care of it and the being the emotional mirror is all right. What you've been trained into. It's about like keeping a bird's eye view of the situation in a dispassionate way. It's really great.
Nice. I like that.
It's two episodes right in a row, one after the other. One of them is, hold please. One of them is, it's numbers 263 and 264, healing from emotionally immature parents, and then disentangling from emotionally immature people. Mm. And this is Lindsay C. Gibson, who's the guest. They're really resonant, really, really resonant. So just kind of feels like in part of the same recipe that you're talking about here.
Yeah, I've thought about a lot of, I don't think that I've ever thought about the actual words emotionally immature about my mom, but she would straight up do baby voice sometimes.
Right.
I don't remember why, but like around the holidays when we were at my husband's family's house and my mom was still alive, she went on some unprovoked rant about how people used to tell her that she was fat because she had big arms and a round face. And like, I've always actually been fat. So when my mom would go on those little tears, I was always like, okay, fine. Oh. Like, whatever. Whatever. But she would be like, they told me I do. And I just, and I just remember being like, who is this for? Who is this mom
wild
for? Who is this for?
Right.
And why now? Yeah. We were all watching like the Peter Billingsley movie. And I was like, the Bumpuses are about to like, the dogs are about to take the turkey. This is the good part. Right at the end. Why did we have this monologue about your fat arms?
No.
But yeah, emotionally immature is a very, and you know, I think that there's a way to hold empathy. I'd feel bad for people who cannot just come as themselves to a celebration and bring a lovely, loving place of love with them.
Yep.
That's horrible. That's so sad. And also, get off my lawn.
Right.
Like, I can't do it anymore. And I don't have to. I'm so grateful. Oh, so grateful. Mm-hmm. That I am mostly always surrounded by people I adore and who I feel adore me.
That's a big, big win. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm very grateful to be reinventing my holidays in that vein. They've never been awful. They felt loaded and performative and kind of robbed of joy when I was a married unit because I got mostly absorbed into the family that I married into. And
that was already a lot of personalities that were taking up a lot of oxygen.
For sure. For sure. And like I had such real love for them. So it didn't feel arduous, but it kind of denied and denigrated some of the only joy that I came from because the holidays were kind of the only thing that didn't suck in my family unit. Like, my dad was a nightmare until Christmas.
Wow.
And that then was when Christmas,
he just behaved?
Oh, my God. Yeah. By and large, like, there's one year, I have to ask my mom again. There was one year when I was a teenager when he left. He left on Christmas morning. It was a big blowout. And I don't even remember if I was the subject of it. To me, it kind of felt like just more of dad's bullshit. But it was like, it was not this solo target like Uzi on me. It was like him just kind of blowing up and he left. It might have been Christmas Eve. Did he leave Christmas Eve? He went somewhere and he stayed overnight.
Wow.
I think. I'm pretty sure. It was, yeah, that was pretty jarring. Although, admittedly, at the time, I remember being grateful because I was like, I mean, I know this sucks and I know that long term we're going to have to grapple with this. But also, he ain't here.
Oh,
and
sure.
I don't mind that. Mm-hmm. So, mom, we can do whatever. But, like, yeah, by and large, outside of that, he really was not. I don't remember any Christmases getting fucking ruined by him because he ruined every other day. sorry,
my
Dad.
My mom cranked it up to 11 for the holidays, man.
I feel like most people do. I feel like for most people, the holidays are, in fact, way more at an 11. Than the rest of the year. But my dad.
I'm so grateful that she didn't drink.
Oh, my God.
But the fact that she was able to whip up that all sober.
Was she a teetotaler? Was she sober?
My parents would drink at functions, but because my dad's mom was an alcoholic, he just hated it.
Yeah.
And my mom didn't care one way or the other. So, like, she would have a drink or two if we went out sometimes. Or, like.
You, like, never saw her drunk.
No. I don't know. The one time that she was close to drunk was, I don't want to say their names. She was friends with this guy and his wife, and they owned a very fancy store in New York that you would recognize the name of. And when we went to go visit them in Boston, they were giant assholes, both of them. He used the C word multiple times about various people.
You didn't tell me your mom was weird friends with Mr. Macy.
It was Mr. Gimble. Yeah, it's closed now, but you would still recognize the name.
Sure.
They were shockingly appalling people.
Wow.
And, at some point basically called my mom a loser for staying with my dad. And I was drinking more because I didn't want to be there.
You were an adult.
And I
at
was
this
like
point?
21. Yeah, I was like 21.
Oh my God. So you had to watch Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf just unfold in front of
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Oh no. Uh-huh.
It was spectacular.
Oh my God.
And we were both
dreadful.
Crying. We were both crying when we left, and they were like, nice to see you.
You were both crying. That's so fucked up.
Oh, I was furious.
That's so, wow. I would like to, off the record, hear all about that.
Oh, my God.
Every nook and cranny.
They lived, what they said, oh, my God. he said something about how, like, black people don't come to this part of Boston and they'll find out why or, like, something like that. He looked out the window and he's like, see that? That's the Provincetown Ferry, or as I call it, the Fairy Ferry.
What
just
on
like
earth?
The hits kept coming.
Oh no. Uh-huh. No.
And we were in Boston for a museum theater conference, and brought up the woman who was running it, and he had docented there, which is basically like you're a volunteer.
Uh-huh.
And we knew that he didn't work there anymore. And when we mentioned him to this lady, her face like fell. And so I asked about her, and he was like, oh, you know, if someone's a cunt, you call him a cunt.
Do you?
And I had been in the room with him for like 18 minutes max.
That's why her face did that. And it's like 2000. So we haven't re-embraced cunt.
I was in college, so maybe I wasn't technically old enough to drink, but I definitely had drinks that night.
Oh, no.
Maybe I was like 20.
Oh, no. Wow. That sounds dreadful.
It was bad. At least it wasn't at a holiday. It was just over the summer.
Jesus Christ. Wow.
People are miserable. They did not have children.
Also, thinking about your mom in this, like, state of total abject poverty... and still hanging out with her, like, crazy elite Upper East Side.
Oh, that was their whole brand. My dad did that, too.
Still? Absolutely.
That was the whole point of his American Flag Association. Oh, yes. There were half of his crowd were people who had actual money, and half of them were people who lived in squalor and were pretending to have money.
So wait. Were your parents then, was there a lot of pretending that went on with the people who still held on to the wealth?
Oh, my dad, for sure. I don't know how much my mom was trying to hang on to those friends.
Wow.
My dad's family was the one that had money. He was the one who had the rich, fancy friends.
And
the people who I'm talking about was definitely like their friends. You know what I mean?
Right. They were okay.
Couple friends.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to do a documentary about all of those people. Like, they're like doing all of these fundraisers and shit for stuff that didn't matter while my dad was living in his weird tiny office.
Right.
Or sleeping on the back floor of that pharmacy in Chinatown. Like,
it's very Schitt's Creek. In, like, there's an episode
but also, like, V.C. Andrews.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Not no. But, like, I remember there was an episode where their still wealthy friends come through town.
Yes.
They go to, like, town, right? And they have to have this, like, come to Jesus moment where they actually defend, you know, the shit.
Is that the one with the life-size portrait that they have to give away?
Yes, right. Yep, it's the size of a garage, exactly. And so their friends come by, and they try and go, and they have this, like, fancy dinner in their old fancy life, but they mm-hmm. realize these friends are assholes.
Yeah.
And then they start talking real turkey, and they're like, this is the town where we live. These are our friends. These people have taken us in, taken care of us.
Yeah,
where
have you guys been?
Where the fuck were you?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I mean, it's just shocking to think about that level of wealth with people who, like, had been your peers and knew that you were in distress. Like, my God, like, your mom and you were in major distress, like, need of fucking aid. Yes. I mean, your dad was too, but at least he was on his own at that point.
I mean, for some of it, he was living with my mom's mom.
Oh, right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Just, like, galling, the division, and then, well, you guys just take care.
Uh-huh.
Yikes.
Uh-huh.
I can't believe you watched that happen at this
crazy... I would have preferred not to have.
I know it.
If there was any way I could have gotten out of it. I think I probably asked not to come. But I didn't know that they were terrible. No. I just didn't care about hanging out with them.
Sure. Or going to Boston ever, frankly. But
the woman, I think that she was on so many tranquilizers. She had a latch hook rug that she had done while she was in recovery from cancer. And it was a bunch of different animals. It was like a bunch of squares. It looked like a quilt. And it was squares with different little animal faces in them. And she had named all of them. And when Mr. Terrible pulled me aside to, like, talk to me about the word cunt in the other room or like whatever. When I left, the Mrs. Terrible was hopping from square to square telling my mother the name of each animal.
No.
So she was like, this is Friendly the Fox. And this is blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I don't want to be in this room anymore. Let's see what's happening in this one.
Oh, no, they both suck. And then that wasn't
so good.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, no.
It was awful. Oh, it was awful. Girl,
wow. Did you have to stay overnight at their place?
No. We were staying at a hotel in Boston.
You both left crying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, the taxi driver was worried about us. Like, he was like, ladies, are you okay? He let my mom smoke in the cab.
Did you leave at like a giant fight moment? Like, well, I'm never coming back here. Or was it like, okay, bye.
Yeah, it was more like that. It was more, I was like, I'm tired. And, you know, if I was more who I am now, I would have.
Oh, yeah.
Ripped them a new asshole.
Of course.
But, I was scared of rich people for sure back then. And I had authority issues and stuff.
Sure. Yeah. All very understandable. And they were supposed to be my mom's friends. Right. And not to mention how completely disorienting anything, walking into anything like that is. Like,
insane. Absolutely.
Completely unhinged.
It was the emotional version of walking into a hoarded house. Where you were immediately like, oh, so much stuff. Oh, nowhere to sit.
I bet. Oh. Yes.
They sucked. Anyway, I hope that none of you know those people. And if you do, tell them I said fuck off. And I hope that your holidays are better than that. We're so happy that you all listen.
We are. So happy that we're very grateful for you. And we hope we help you out.
Yeah. And thanks to everybody who reaches out, because we like to hear that people are listening.
I would like to just mention that no one reaches out to me, which is not a complaint. It's more an invitation. Sure. It's an invitation. Like, I hear from Chrissy, but that's because Chrissy and I are friends and we talk. But like, you know, if anyone would like to say hello and is for some strange reason afraid of me, you know, don't be.
Don't be. She's just a lady.
I'm just a lady. I'm just a child Muppet in a dress.
That meme about how Michael Caine in Muppet Christmas Carol treats all the Muppets like they're co-star actors, like they're humans. And then Tim Curry in Muppet Treasure Island behaves like he is a Muppet.
Yes. It's so good. And that's why they both work better than any of the other. I mean, that's why they're so seamless. And it's so true. I was just watching today and I'm just like, wow, Michael Caine like gives these characters so much stillness and consideration. Oh, yeah. And like, it is an art form. It's so good.
I have to tell you, I get that Marley and Marley song stuck in my head in the middle of August. Like, as soon as it's like, we're Marley and Marley.
I will tell you to look out for, on your next watch of A Muppet Christmas Carol, when all the rats who are the bookkeepers in the first, like, 10 minutes of the movie, they're trying to tell Scrooge that they should have Christmas off. And he's like, you what? And then they're all like, no. And one of them goes, no, it was the frog's idea. A fucking delight.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
Yeah.
I love it.
So good. Happy holidays, fuck buddies. We wish you pristine mental health. Lots and lots of resources to regulate your nervous system. Firm boundaries and
a joy. Bathroom where no one is hearing you poop.
Oh, lots of poopery for when you go. Yeah.
Manifesting us a sponsorship.
I love it. Absolutely.
Chandeliers.
All right. Love you, Lillian.
Love you too, Jim Pont, and love you, fuck buddies.
Love you, fuck buddies.
Talk to you next year.
That's right, babies. See you in 2024.
Whew, what flavor dumpster is that going to be?
Now, let's spoil the surprise.